Schnitt. I won't bother you with explanations, but I decided I do this in English, so apologies to both the German speakers and to the English speakers. My inevitable mistakes. First, my thanks to all of those who followed our invitation and to speak here or to be with us here today. My thanks to my colleagues and team at the house, and above all, my sincere gratitude to Antje for her generosity and also for having asked me to join the ranks of the speakers here today, which cannot but humble me. In 2014, Harun Farrokhi was beginning work on a new film project on Marais and Maybridge, another project, as the work shown in the foyer downstairs, on the origins, connected to the origins of cinema. The last thing I received from him was a DVD copy of a film by Tom Anderson on Edward Maybridge from the early 1970s, 72, I think. This was in June last year at the Bierhimmel Café in Kreuzberg. Today, we can only imagine what this new film project would have become. Surely the outcome would have been different from the original plan. We do not know what Harun would have discovered at the editing table. But we can assume that the project would have made a theme that was implicit in his life's work explicit, the theme of life. And that it would have helped us to further understand how its representation is indivisible from its mobilization and its reconstructability. And how the representation of life that we call animation is a constant dialectical presence in his work, precisely to the degree that Harun's work as a documentarist could not be further removed from the illusionism of animation. Harun looked at the way images and representations of life in capitalism condition and rationalize life, how they animate the scripts of the everyday. I'm thinking obviously of films like The Creator of the Shopping Malls. If Harun spoke in the 1970s of the way images are assigned meanings, just as work is partitioned in the factory and children are sorted out in the school system, and related to this as bureaucratic terror, as cited by Thomas Elsasser yesterday, we cannot fail to hear the echo of Adorno's critique of instrumental reason and how, quote, industrialism makes souls into things, Dialectics of Enlightenment. And indeed, Harun continued to reflect on the way industrialism makes souls into things through his entire life. Harun Farrokhi's work always took measure of old and new forms of alienation. But a future film on Marais and Maybridge would likely have shown to what degree Harun's work, since the 1980s in particular, had become a critique also of the new forms of de-alienation. Those forms of de-alienation which we often associate with the imperative of subjectivation in the society of control, where it is the individual being tasked with de-alienating her or his own world. Leben BRD from perhaps exemplifies this best. It literally shows the passage from a disciplinary terror to the mobilization of life and subjectivity in the service of a new form of production. In Leben BRD, Harun has made a portrait of the neoliberal version of what, in the Marxist tradition, was at the horizon as the rehumanization of the world. It turned the tables on the older dialectic relation between industrial rationalization and animation. Henceforth, what had once been externalized as bureaucratic terror was now internalized and seemingly overcome as formerly alienated subjects of the disciplinary regime lent their human face to what has now become a social factory. A work on Marais and Maybridge by Harun we can be certain, would have looked at the representation and mobilization of life and movement across 120 years from the early alliance of film, physiology, and the science of work associated with names such as Etienne Jules Marais, to the role that computer simulations and computer animation have assumed in reorganizing life as well as the body and work today. A few years back, when Haroun was beginning to draft the series Parallel, he was referring to technologies used in films like Avatar, CGI, computer-generated imagery, and motion capture technology. As you can see on the, this image was part of his draft of the Parallel series when he was looking for funding initially. Motion capture technology inherits, you could say, the graphic method that had been championed by Marais. Even on first sight, they often resemble each other. 120 years ago, Marais made some of his motion studies with test persons wearing black suits with white dots. These dots were later used to trace the movement of specific body parts. As is well known, these physiological experiments not only led to the moving image, but were also foundational for an emerging science of work, for the rationalization of labor on the assembly line. In motion capture technology, however, we are witnessing a different relation. What we see here are human actors who lend their gestures to what will later become a digitally animated character. No longer is the machine subjugating and rationalizing life as in the assembly line. In motion capture technologies, humans are complementing the machine for the purpose of a more complete reconstruction and technological envelopment of life. Humans are animating this envelope. A typical scene from a Haroun Farhoki movie: a factory worker has to insert prefabricated parts into a machine for further processing. A study of the movements of both humans and machines. What is the worker doing? What does this factory need her or him for? Here, it is the cognitive ability to recognize the position of the parts that have fallen chaotically into a basket, and then grab them and align them anew with the machine. What kind of new machine could replace him or her? Rationalization on the assembly line, just like rationalization in war, depends on coming to terms with movement, complexity, and contingency. To this end, the machine has to learn how to see. Seeing here is detached from the labor of making a representation. It knows recognition only as a technical process of identification, in stark contrast to the meaning of recognition in human affairs. I like to think of Haroun's life work also in terms of an analysis of the shifting, progressing frontiers of capital and technology and the inscription and mobilization of life. Although this terminology is derived from a very different context, which was not Haroun's, I believe that we can think of this frontier in the terms Bruno Latour has developed first in the early 1980s when he collaborated with a primatologist, and later used by him in the study of the techno-infrastructure of the Parisian metro, just as Haroun had studied the infrastructure of the city of Lille in counter-music, Gegenmusik. He speaks of the distinction between the complicated and the complex. Complicated is everything, anything that is whose operations can be computed, like train timetables. A conversation at a bar, however, is complex. It is ambiguous, and its many layers of meaning and of animation involve more factors than a simulation can easily take into account. By means of standardization and computation, modernity seeks to turn complexity into something that is merely complicated. War has been the prime engine of advance on this frontier as well. Between Marais and motion capture technology lies the 20th century, the industrialization of death, the victory of capital, technology in the service of the absolute negation of life, and the reconstruction of life. Farhoki was an observer and diagnostician of the enormous advance of technology into the realm of the complex and hence of life, and the link between this advance and the logic of production and war. At the same time, he was an observer of the collapse of distinctions, of the dialectical conflations of neoliberalism. And on the one hand, the battlefield, which aspires to its own hygiene and rational calculations, on the other, the theater of training and rehearsing, simulating and modeling, through which capitalism penetrates and mobilizes life. I like to think of Harun's work as revolving around that question of life, certainly not in a vitalist sense, in some romantic or essentialist turn of mind, but in a non-reductionist way, as a living, non-alienated labor, as dialogic force, perhaps. Life is something that upsets and disconcerts logic and the machine, but without ever affirming it as therefore being entirely beyond logic or the grasps of concepts or imagery. To me, Harun's work has always appeared as a critique of animation, of the modes of animation and subject production that pertain to industrialism. But this critique rarely targeted the phantasms of popular fiction directly, although sometimes it did. Rather, it was directed at the magic that he identified in seemingly inconspicuous representations of purely operational processes. Such a dialectical inversion resounds with Benjamin, and indeed I was often tempted to see films like Between Two Wars or As One Sees, from which this image is, this still, the upper still is taken, as a realization of what Benjamin demanded from the surrealists in 1929, namely that they exchange the play of human features for the face of an alarm clock that in each minute rings for 60 seconds. Life in Harun's world and work, perhaps, is diagnosed like a patient in critical condition. One could call the diagnosis clinical neopositivism, a monitoring of life systems at their critical margins. Capital's solution to the crisis of absolute negation of life, it turns out, was its techno-social reconstruction. The patient had to be reanimated. And in the course of this reanimation and thus de-alienation and de-objectification, the oppositional matrix of disciplinary society had to be undone. What followed from this was the well-known collapse of dichotomies, which Harun captured like few others. When he analyzed the links between production and war, it was by way of an emphatic immersion in its logic, a dialectics that put itself permanently and empirically at risk. He then became a technician, one who relied, to paraphrase Benjamin, on an action to put forth its own image, or in his words, as if the world itself wanted to tell us something. But when he portrayed the absurd theater of the grand de-alienation of neoliberalism, he was not only truly Brechtian, he also delineated how desire, the dream of transformative mobility and psychic life as such, had turned into a resource. The way people now had to put forth their own image demanded a rather different response. This is why the image of the motion capture technique used in Avatar matters. This image showing the actor in the lab and the resulting digital character next to each other is an image of the production of images, and it represents the solution that was applied to the problem of the technological negation and subsequent reconstruction of life. It is an image that is paradigmatic for our current moment, humans pushing machines across the uncanny valley, or beyond the winter of artificial intelligence. The winter of artificial intelligence. This refers to a period of several decades in which artificial intelligence and robotics failed to fulfill the horizon of expectations in reconstructing and automizing life. It describes the temporary inability of the machine to cross from the merely complicated into the realm of the dynamically complex. The winter of artificial intelligence, an allegory also for the reductionist, militaristic reality principle of an administered life. But above all, it was a problem at the junction between technology and imagery, one that demanded to be solved. The solution is represented in the image motion. In the image of motion capture technology. Harun spoke once of how digital animation had hit a certain limit, not unlike the winter of artificial intelligence, when it tried to reconstruct human walking. which refers us obviously back to Marais. Human walking always looks too mechanical and never organically. Not only is it cheaper to use now real actors, as here, in motion capture than to produce characters from scratch in CGI technology, it is also the way to ensure that technology has always already been pushed beyond the uncanny valley now, because that valley itself is bridged by the investment of life into machines as we are permanently feeding the machines with data. In augmented realities, intelligent environments, self-learning systems, etc., the organic and the machine have formed intricate networks. Living beings now supplement the machine and provide it with the part of animate intelligence, which to date it has not been able to reproduce. Thus, the frontier between the complex and the complicated has transformed. The complicated now accommodates and frames the complex by monitoring its flows and registering deviations from the patterns of life, using them to expand their scope by means of generative algorithms. Haroun referred to the data maps of operational computer animations that are used to monitor complex systems from factories to cities to battlefields as ideal typical images, images that seek to outperform cinematographic and photographic representations, and indeed the reality of life itself. Reality is then no longer the measure of an always imperfect image. Instead, the image increasingly becomes the measure of an always imperfect reality. It was this inversion that Haroun's work never failed to put back on its feet. Thank you.
Danke, Anselm Franke.
Thank you to all of the speakers. We'll be having a brief break now, and please do come back at 4:30 for the third of our sessions. See you after the break.